While she was working as a fashion model in London in the 1960s, Patti Boyd came to the attention and became something of an obsession of two of rock and roll's greatest superstars. George Harrison and Eric Clapton claimed Miss Boyd as their muse. She inspired Mr. Harrison's song Something, and Eric Clapton wrote Layla and Wonderful Tonight for her. In her memoir, which she has called Wonderful Tonight, Miss Boyd divulges for the first time details of her marriages to George Harrison and Eric Clapton. It is published by Harmony Books, and I'm very pleased it has brought Patti Boyd to my show today. Hi.
Hello.
Haven't you turned down lucrative offers to publish your memoirs in the past? Why now, 40 years after you met George Harrison?
I think that I really wasn't comfortable with the idea of writing a book earlier on. And I was quite content living, you know, sort of life in the country. Until one day somebody suggested that I might have a photographic exhibition. I thought I maybe only had about 3 photographs. Anyway, it inspired me to look through my photographs, which seemed to be all over the place. And I came across some really interesting photos and ones that were actually very nice and took me back to my past life that I really hadn't looked at or even thought about for years. And anyway, I had 2 very successful exhibitions in San Francisco of my photographs. And then I thought, well, maybe I can do that quite successfully. And perhaps now it's time to think about writing a book.
And you've included a fair number of photographs in this book as well. But you talked about living quietly. Is that the natural consequence of having lived a life in a fishbowl for so many years?
Yes, maybe it is. I mean, my life isn't actually that quiet, but it's what I meant was that I live in the country. I don't live in the city anymore. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's just a different life that I have now.
Now, there's also a new memoir from Eric Clapton. Mm. Are we going to have a Rashomon thing here?
I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
You haven't seen his book?
No. I understand it's not out until October.
Mm-hmm. I suspect you don't remember everything the same way he does.
Why is that?
Well, just because any couple, people remember things differently.
Well, interestingly enough, somebody who's read both the books told me relatively recently that whatever Eric says about me and our relationship is almost echoes what I say. So, which she said is extraordinary. Anyway, I yet have to read his to see.
You were how old when you met George Harrison?
I was 19.
And that was on the set of Hard Day's Night?
Yes.
You'd been a model, but not an actress, and you didn't want this job.
No, I'd never had any desire or ambition to be an actress. And modelling was fine, was fun, and, you know, we were paid quite a bit of money. And then when I was offered this job of being an actress, well, I thought it was an actress, but really, in fact, it was just almost a walk-on part.
You played a schoolgirl?
I played a part of a schoolgirl. There were 3 of us that were schoolgirls.
And I'm sure you've wondered, what would have happened if I had kept insisting that I didn't want the job? Your life would have been so totally different.
Would have been completely different, I suppose. Who knows? It's fun to think about. I can't imagine which way it would have gone.
George asked you to marry him when he saw you on the set, and I'm sure you thought he was just joking. Do you think he was joking?
I certainly thought he was joking. I mean, the four of them were always joking and playing around, and so I naturally thought this was another joke. I laughed and dismissed it.
And you turned him down when he asked you for a date, even though he was one of the most famous people in the world by then, and, as you've said, the best-looking man you'd ever met.
Yes. I was going out with I had a boyfriend at the time, and when George asked me out, I said that I couldn't because I had a boyfriend and we were going out for dinner that night, but he was most welcome to join us. He didn't take this very well at all, and so declined. And I don't know, sometime after that, my boyfriend and I split up. And then, miraculously, I was called back to the studios to complete a little more of the film. And so I was able to tell George that I was no longer seeing my boyfriend.
And you wound up getting married in 1966 in a secret ceremony. Secret because it would have been impossible to have avoided all the Beatlemania?
Yes, I think so. You know, with the fans would have been, there would have been too many fans, and the press would have been, you know, huge amounts of them would have turned up.
And even before the wedding, hadn't you been receiving threats from jealous female fans?
Well, they weren't exactly threats. They were just, you know, unpleasant letters. Mm-hmm. They didn't like me. I think that they probably all
thought you were in the way.
I was in the way of them having George.
And you say that George asked Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, for permission to marry you before he proposed to you. This reveals an awful lot, doesn't it? Because do you ask your manager if you can marry somebody?
I know. It's the way you put it, it does sound a bit odd. But really and truly, the fact is that George and the others were never really sure what plans Brian had for them to go on tour or to record or, you know, what he had. So George needed to find out whether the dates or which dates would be a good idea so that we could get married and then go for a honeymoon.
But Brian also was involved in almost every aspect of their lives. He paid their bills, he made their travel arrangements, made many of their decisions for them. These were men who were making millions of dollars and were semi-infantilized. You know, I mean, I've seen it, you know.
Yes,
there's a car, go there. Okay, well, here we are. Go out, go to the door on the left.
Absolutely.
You never have to pay anything.
No, total pampering. And you actually lose a grasp of reality because you can become used to not taking care of yourself at all. I mean, when I finally split up with Eric, for example, I didn't realize that I had to have a tax disc on my car. And not only that, I had to go and buy it and, you know, I mean, I was totally out of touch with reality.
And you had to pay electric bills and gas bills.
All these mysterious things had to be paid for.
When Brian died in 1967, and it's still unclear, isn't it, whether it was a suicide or something else?
Oh, no, I think it was definitely a mistake.
Uh-huh.
He was a very complex person. I absolutely adored him. But he, I know he always had trouble sleeping, so he would take his normal sleeping pills. But I think what happened was that he probably forgot that what he had taken, woke up in the night and might have had a drink, might have then taken another tablet. And I don't think he was suicidal.
But it really must have thrown the Beatles into turmoil. He had pretty much been their father figure, their mentor. As I said, he paid all the bills.
He did. It totally threw them. He was the one person that kept them united.
Is that why they stopped touring?
Yes, I think no, but I think they wanted to stop touring before that anyway.
Mm, because it was just so...
Well, it got to such a ludicrous point where, you know, I mean, they were just about to walk on stage and the girls would scream so loudly that, in fact, they could hardly even hear themselves.
Most people assume that John's involvement with Yoko Ono played a major role in the breakup. Is that the way you saw it?
Not entirely. I think that there were many aspects of them splitting up. They were getting angry with each other. They were actually all going in different directions.
How did the wives and girlfriends get along? Were you friendly with them? Were you friendly with Cynthia Lennon, for example?
We were all friends.
Ringo's wife?
Yeah, Maureen, we were all friends with each other. We weren't best friends because we had our own friends individually, apart from, you know, the others.
My guest is Patty Boyd, who's written with the help of Penny Juner, Wonderful Tonight, George Harrison, and Eric Clapton and Me. It is published by Harmony Books. You've said that it was you who introduced George and the other Beatles to transcendental meditation. Did you come to regret it later?
No. Did I come to regret
it? Well, you know, you say that George's
so.
Intense commitment to meditation was partly responsible for the breakup of your marriage.
That, again, you know, it's never just one thing. It's a series of different things that play a part in breaking up anybody's marriage. I think that, you know, if the marriage was strong enough, nothing would really and truly get in the way.
Mm-hmm. But meditation is something that usually puts you at peace with yourself and with the world. It seems to have caused tension between the two of you.
No, not exactly. Not entirely just meditation. There were lots of other things coming into our lives that were pushing us apart.
Like his affair with Ringo's wife, Maureen.
Well, you know, and I was behaving... Well, everybody was behaving badly then.
This was the 60s.
This was the 60s. This was the late 60s. And the situation became untenable, that's all. I mean, it happens.
Although you've called George the love of your life.
Yeah.
So I'm sure on another level you have regretted that you couldn't have worked it out. You did discover that he was sleeping with Maureen Starr in another bedroom in your 25-bedroom home.
Mm.
That would break up most marriages.
Yeah, I would think so.
And then Eric was making it pretty clear that he was in love with you, even though you were married to one of his best friends. He sent you a love letter that he'd signed with only the initial E. Did you have any idea who had sent you that?
No, I had no idea at all. I actually thought it was from a fan. And I thought it was, quite enchanting, really.
And you showed it to George?
I showed it to George. And I thought no more about it until that evening when Eric rang up and asked me if I'd received his letter. And I said I didn't realise that it was from him.
Well, it is odd. I don't know whether they were best friends, but they were...
No, they were friends. You know, most musicians in London anyway... know each other, and they're all friendly towards each other. And
but these are two great guitar players as well. I'm sure they got together sometimes and just
loads
talk
of guitar,
guitar
players. Yes, got together and would play. It was it's inspiring for them to play with each other.
But then he really started wooing you, and at one point he told you that he'd become a heroin junkie if you didn't leave George for him.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, this was a little naughty of him, to say the least. Yeah, that was unfair. I thought that he was being very childish by saying that. And also very unfair to sort of blackmail. It's emotional blackmail. And anyway, that's what he did. So
on the other hand, he was writing these songs for you. He wrote Layla, one of
his
most...
Yeah, that was later on, yeah.
Well, but that's what you say really won you over, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, when you listen to that song, it's a very powerful love song, and it's very, very emotive as well, and beautiful.
The problem was that he really was involved with heroin, and was that obvious from the start when you wound up before you even married him?
Oh, no. He'd stopped taking heroin. He was taking heroin for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Dr. Meg Patterson who helped him to get over that. And then he and I got together. We lived together for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then we got married.
And he got involved with alcohol as a, I guess, if you're
an
addictive type.
Yes, it's part of the addictive nature of a person to replace one thing for another. So in this case, he, I suppose, replaced heroin with alcohol.
And then infidelity became a major problem in this marriage as well. How realistic is it to imagine that rock stars will remain faithful on the road when fans are throwing themselves at them?
I think it's very difficult for any young man, particularly rock stars, when they are in the public eye and they have adoring fans around them.
Did you work that out for yourself?
Well, I suppose I did, yeah. I mean, I can see how difficult it would be. As long as it's not brought home. I'm not condoning it in any way, but I just think that it's a part of life. It's a reality. And unless you go on the road with your husband... when he's touring, you know, things are bound to happen.
Would you have wanted to do that? The Beatles and Eric Clapton had no wives and girlfriends allowed on tour rules.
Well, no, the Beatles certainly didn't. Brian Epstein thought, and this was really purely because there were so many people trying to protect the Beatles from the fans that they didn't really want girlfriends or wives to have to look after as well. That was the reason that there was nobody on the Beatles tours. But with Eric's tours, his manager, it was fine to begin with. And then I think it was the manager, his manager, or even Eric said that the girlfriends were getting in the way and causing trouble.
Well, you've been trying to have a child with Eric. Mm-hmm. And then you discovered that he was going to have a child with another woman, Lori Del Santo. That child, some listeners may remember, died some years back when he fell from a Manhattan high-rise window. Did that cause a major rift in the relationship?
Well,
I mean, that was that it? Was that the end?
I would say it did.
I mean, was that the end?
Well, that certainly the nail in the coffin.
Uh-huh. But I mean, you had already been kind of there at that time, right?
Yes, I mean, things hadn't been too good up until that point. And then it was just a bit too much to take.
So what could you do? I mean, here you've lived this life that, well, there were a lot of complications, there were a lot of emotional turmoil, but in the end, you were the wife of these two incredibly wealthy, powerful men, and now suddenly you are alone. Did you get a decent divorce settlement from Eric?
No, I didn't, but you're making it sound terribly sad. I'm going to weep in a minute.
Well, you're going to tell me that it was all a lot better than I'm suggesting.
Yes, because, you know, if you pick out the highlights that are miserable in a book, then it all does sound a bit doomy and gloomy. You know, it is sort of peppered with lots of joyous and wonderful, fun stories in the book.
And you've also, you discovered photography?
Yes, I took up photography just towards the end of my modelling. I bought a camera, and this has been a great joy to me.
And I understand that you have an event tonight, a photography exhibit at the Morrison Hotel Gallery. It opens this Saturday.
Yes.
That's the first, from 1 to 6 at 124 Prince Street between Worcester and Green. And that exhibit will be up through September.
That's right, yeah.
And then, of course, there is this book, Wonderful Tonight, George Harrison, Eric Clapton, and Me from Harmony Books. I want to thank you so much for being with us, Patty Boyd, written with the help of Penny Junor.
Yes.
And let's listen to one of those wonderful songs that was written with you in mind.
Thank you so much.
Attracts me like